reading John chapter 6, verses 50 and 51. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'd like to speak this evening about the living bread. It's, of course, a curious concept because there's no such thing in this world as living bread, unless it's got so mouldy that maggots are carrying it around the kitchen, and I'm sure none of us have bread like that. But bread, of course, is made of wheat that's been crushed. And so it's dead, isn't it? Unless, you know that there's the verse, unless a corn of wheat die and fall into the ground, it remains alone. So it has to die to give life. And so, of course, the bread we have is from dead wheat. So the idea that it's living is absurd, in fact. But, of course, bread sustains human life, doesn't it? But the bread that Christ is speaking about is life-giving as opposed to life-sustaining. We see at the beginning of the chapter how the Lord Jesus fed 5,000 with loaves of bread and fish. His frustration after that was that the people kept coming to him, but they weren't coming to him for his teaching. They were coming to him for what they could get out of him. We see this in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." They weren't coming to Christ as the Son of God to know him. They were coming because they wanted eating. They wanted food to eat. And I guess that answers the problem that we've been wrestling with today in our prayer meeting. Sorry, in our church members' meeting. We were discussing, should we open a work for the down and outs by offering them meals? Well, the problem is that you invite people to come to church not to hear about how they might be saved, how their souls might be saved, but how their stomachs will be filled. And this is what happened in Christ's day. And there are many people in the churches, regrettably, who come because of what they can get out of Christ for themselves in this world. And hence we're familiar with the prosperity gospel that speaks of, well, name it and claim it. If you want a Rolls Royce, you only have to ask and you'll get one. If you want a job, you've only got to ask and you'll get what you want. That isn't what the Bible promises. Of course, in one sense, of course, the Lord does meet our needs. And we've been singing about how he meets our needs and how he is our everything. So, of course, there's always a half-truth in these things. But there's a difference between our needs and what we desire with our eyes, with our flesh, isn't there? Christ will meet our needs, but he won't necessarily give us the things that we most desire, because he wants us to desire him. And most especially, what he wants is us to look for eternal life. The danger is that people spend their lives labouring for the things that won't fill them. Look at verse 27, it's the verse after. We've just looked at the one we just looked at. Labour not for the meat which perisheth. but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So there is a temptation for people in this life simply to labour for the things of this world which will perish. This world will pass away. It's hopeless for us simply to build bigger houses. And you know, with cars, when it's time to change your car these days, rather like your mobile telephone, there's a temptation to go for a bigger model, a better model, a bigger phone. Well, you could accuse me of having a big phone, but a more sophisticated phone. And of course, in one sense, you need perhaps with mobile technology, it's perhaps a bad example because the way life is going, to some extent, you need to keep up with it. But in another way, we can be always looking for having something better, something that we don't really need but is desirable to have, but it doesn't satisfy, does it? And it's extraordinary that some people will work into their 70s, 80s, 90s, amassing wealth, getting richer, but for what purpose? Only for them to die. And as the well-known saying goes, there are no pockets in a shroud. As Job said, naked I came into the world, naked shall I return. We start with nothing, we finish with nothing. So what is the point in amassing things that we don't need in this life? Instead, what Christ is desiring is for them to have meat which endures unto everlasting life. And eating of this mysterious food is something that we see in Revelation. Revelation 2, verse 7, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." That tree of life was barred from everybody after the fall, because if a fallen man was to eat it, he would remain in his fallen state forever. But this food is to be eaten by somebody who wants to go to heaven. It's something that is given to the Christian who has been born again. And then verse 17 of the same chapter. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." Give to eat of the hidden manna. "And will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." So, to the overcomer will be given hidden manna. Manna means, it's unknown. It's like what not, or a what. That's how when manna was first named, when it came down in the wilderness. And then we read in verse 31 of back to our chapter. Go back to the chapter just to, you see in verse 27, Christ has said, "Labour not for the meat which perisheth." And then he says instead, labour for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. So there is a labouring that is right. But it's interesting that this labouring, this working, is working for a gift. Of course, that's a contradiction, isn't it? If you do work, you expect payment. But look at what we have here in these verses. Verse 28, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Well, actually, belief is not a work, because belief is a gift. So there's a slight contradiction here. We know that faith is a gift from Ephesians chapter 2. What we are to do is to believe Christ. And so we need to believe what he says about himself. And we see here the next question. In verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? And Christ's answer is, they then ask, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Talking about the manna that the children of Israel were given when they were going through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. And Jesus' answer is extraordinary. Verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, even though manna fell on the ground from the air. It fell on the ground. But it came from heaven in the sense that it came from the sky, but it didn't come from heaven sent by God, as the Lord Jesus Christ did. Then Jesus said unto them in verse 32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Friends, have you had this bread? Have you had this bread of life that you might get through belief? It's a rather different kind of meal. Christ offers this living bread. And it's an extraordinary kind of bread. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then asked verse 34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So friends, if we want true satisfaction in life, if we want assurance that we will go to heaven, then we need the bread that Christ is offering. And he says, I am the bread of life. He doesn't say, I've got the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. And it's plain, what he says in verse 35, is that he's saying, I'm the bread of life. And then later on he says, you've got to eat me. And here he's saying, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So really he's interchanging the words believing and eating. And because what we're eating is something spiritual. We're not eating real bread here. And that's where the Roman Catholics get it wrong. Because they believe from these verses that when you take the bread and the wine, you are literally eating the body and blood of Christ. And somehow that gives you, I say brownie points, that's probably a slightly facetious way of putting it, but it gives you grace to get to heaven if you eat the bread, the communion bread, and drink the communion wine. So if we go down a little bit further, you see in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And verse 52, the Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. To have life, spiritual life, you need to eat of Christ. But we've already seen that the words eating and believing are interchangeable. So what you eat in this world for food, well, for the next world, you don't eat it because we've only got natural bodies, but believing is eating. So if you believe in Christ, and you believe that he gave his life, he shed his blood and he gave his body for us, then we will have eternal life. He says, we've already looked that in verse 32, Christ likens himself to the bread, the manna that Moses gave them in the desert. And there is a likeness here. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, in the wilderness, the manna came down and the children of Israel gathered it and they ate it and they were given strength to go on in their journey through the wilderness. And when their journey through the wilderness finished, just before they crossed over Jordan to get into the promised land, then the bread finished. So that bread took the people of Israel from Egypt, because after they crossed the Red Sea, into the promised land. Now the bread that Christ gives us takes us from this world to heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem. You need Christ to get to heaven. And the way you get Christ is not to work for him, not to do lots of good things. That won't get you to heaven. You've got to eat that bread, and we've seen that the way you eat it is to believe in Christ. You look in verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, this is the will of God, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you want everlasting life? Then you must believe on Christ, the giver of that life. He is that life. And you need Christ in you. And that's what happens when a person is born again. When a sinner realizes he's a sinner, repents of his sin, and turns to Christ. Then Christ enters into you. And if you look at Romans chapter 6, you see what happens. This is the exchange that takes place. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, baptism here is not talking about water baptism. It's talking about being immersed into Christ. Verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were immersed into Jesus Christ were immersed into his death. And think about baptism for a moment. Baptism is when you go down into the water, you are buried, and it's a picture, a symbol of being buried with Christ. And Christ was buried, wasn't he, after he died? And we are buried with him so that we might rise with him. And so it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That's what happens to the Christian who believes on Christ, who eats Christ, eats the living bread. You see, he's saying, I am the living bread, and we know that we need to eat living bread. But he's saying, I am the living bread, but he's saying, you've got to believe in me. So what he gives us, of course, is food, but it's spiritual food. And that spiritual food is communicated through belief. And when you've believed on Christ, he is your all in all. You no longer want the things of this world because you've got Christ. And Christ truly satisfies. So there is a sense in which you eat and drink Christ. He is our meat. He is all we need in this life, and he is all we need for eternity. Nothing else. So I wonder where we all stand. Have we believed on Christ? Have we eaten of that living bread? And this is important because you will know if you've eaten the living bread. Just as you can't tell me I've had my supper. You can't kid me because I know that I'm hungry. And I know that until I've eaten, that hunger will not be satisfied. So you can't kid me. And the same way, every one of us has a spiritual hunger. That hunger will only be met in Christ. And there's a temptation to think that when we believe, somehow, you know, it's like a sort of tick in the box. I'm looking for my insurance policy. I know that my brother and sister are about to travel off to the Philippines, and I expect one of the issues they would have been offered, I don't know whether they accepted it, they might have been offered travel insurance. So that if they lose their wallet or have something happens on their in the Philippines, they can recover it through their insurance policy. Well, some people see Christ a bit like that. That, well, once I've said I believed, that's enough. I've got what I need for heaven. But no, it goes much further than this. And I think this is the whole point of it. The reason that Lord Jesus ties in eating with believing, it goes back to the beginning of the chapter where we've seen that the people were fed by Christ. They were given, their natural appetites were met, were satisfied. Unfortunately, they didn't see the point and they kept coming back to him for more food. But what he was trying to say is, look, when you believe on me, you are satisfied spiritually. You're given spiritual life. And it is like having a meal. So if you know if you know Christ, because your spiritual appetite is satisfied. And it's just like in John 4 when he says to the woman at the well, he that believeth on me, the person who believes, drinks of the living water, will thirst no more. You no longer have that soul thirst. But you do have a soul thirst until that thirst is met in Christ. So there's no point saying, I believe, but know that deep down you've got this hunger for something you don't know about. It's a spiritual void. You see, when you believe on Christ, that spiritual void is filled. And this is really what Christ is saying in these verses. And it's not filled by going to, if you're a Roman Catholic, going to Mass and taking the bread and eating it and drinking the wine and thinking that you're eating Christ that way. That would be cannibalism, wouldn't it? It's not right. But when we trust in Christ as our Lord and Saviour, when we believe that he died for the sins of the world and he died for my sins, then we will be given that spiritual bread and spiritual drink. We will be satisfied when we do that. So friends, let's not kid ourselves into thinking that anything we do in this life can be a substitute for the living bread that Christ alone offers. Verse 51, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Verse 47, compare the two. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am living bread, verse 51, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. So if you want to live forever, you must believe in Christ, because he is the bread of life. And it will be spiritually, we will be eating Christ, because we will be given eternal life. We're given what we need, what was taken away from us in the Garden of Eden. That tree of life was barred from us, so we could no longer live forever. But now, through Christ, we are given eternal life when we believe on him. So friends, the question we must ask ourselves today is, have we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we eaten of that living bread? And again to John 4, Jesus answered and said to the woman at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would give thee living water. You see, the thirst she had when she was at the well was met by Christ. This was like the spiritual thirst, likened to the spiritual thirst she had, that Christ could meet. These 5,000 came to Christ for bread and fish, but he was offering them bread that wouldn't perish, bread that wouldn't go stale. He was meeting their spiritual appetite so that they would go to heaven and not to hell, where their sins would take them. And this is the offer for each of us. Have we eaten the bread of life? Have we believed on the Lord Jesus for our salvation? Is our spiritual hunger filled? It's a real experience, friends, to know Christ. He is indeed the pearl of greatest price, as we were singing. So I want to finish. Have we eaten of the living bread? Have we believed on the Lord Jesus? And if not, tonight is the night when we should do so. Amen.